Welcome, guys. So today we're going to talk about different black places that I've visited that I think are phenomenal that you may want to consider checking out on your travels. Now, originally I was only going to talk about black places outside of the United States, but I've been thinking there is so much culture inside the United States that is largely untapped, and that's because typically, if you're from the East Coast, you stay on the East Coast. I'm from Philly. I love the East Coast. And it's rare that we get a chance to thoroughly explore other places within the United States. So, the first place I actually want to talk about is Jackson, Mississippi. Now, actually, a couple of days ago, I was on a date, and this guy that I was talking to, he was like, "I never go to Mississippi." And I was like, "Well, why not?" And he was like, "Well, because it's dangerous for black people, and the history." I'm assuming he was referring to was like lynching and slavery and all the bad things, right? So I totally understood that. Y'all, I just got a new little microphone and I'm getting it together. So he was just like, I'm not going to Mississippi basically because it's racist. Long story short. And I totally understood that perspective, but I actually just came back from Mississippi. My family and I did a United States Civil Rights tour, and Jackson, Mississippi was my absolute favorite stop. If you're watching this podcast on YouTube, you can see that I'm wearing my Malcolm, Medgar, and Martin t-shirt that I got for $10. It's an amazing shirt. It's one of my favorites. And I got it at a local museum. Now, I'm going to get the name of the museum right because it's a museum that everyone should visit. It is the Smith Robertson Museum and Cultural Center. It is home to historical artifacts that educate and enlighten the public about the roles of African Americans in Mississippi, the Southeast, and America's civil rights movements. Through numerous photographs, periodicals, artifacts, temporary and permanent exhibits, we strive to communicate the trials of the past in cohesive, creative, and academic ways that inform and inspire the present. I talked really fast on that, but basically, when you leave that museum, you're gonna learn a lot about the history of the civil rights movement and black leaders in Mississippi. Now, I knew a little bit about the history, but after going to Jackson, you really see. I saw America for who it really was and like how racist the society really is, but even more important than that, how beautiful and expansive blackness is. And I really think that, the perceptions that we as Northerners or we as people that are not from the South have to be dispelled. And the only way you can dispel those myths is by actually going to visit these places. So Jackson, Mississippi was the best for me. We had the best food. The people are just so warm. That's pretty much a common stereotype about Southerners in general, that they're very warm, open, loving people, and I can honestly say that Mississippi represents that. Now, after traveling as much as I have, especially for the past year throughout the United States, I can say that Mississippi is the dirty South. Now, you have like the South, like a North Carolina or even South Carolina, but like the dirty South is like the Mississippi, the Louisiana, the Texas is like country as hell, and I love it. And you, when we talk about the history of this country, you can't talk about it without talking about black people and black people building this country. And the quickest and easiest ways to see that are through the history and legacy of slavery, Jim Crow, and the civil rights movement. And so when we were in Jackson, Mississippi, we were there to discover all, well, I knew a lot. Considering the fact that I was a history major, but I wanted to see it up close and personal for myself because there's only so much that a book can teach you, right? You gotta get out there in the field, you gotta like live your life, you gotta see things. Life is the best teacher. Books can only do but so much. So when we went to Jackson, Mississippi, we went to Jackson State University, which is their local historically black college and university. We went to COFO, which is actually on Jackson State's campus. That's where a lot of the civil rights organizations, they actually formed a coalition and they, protested and marched and did all the things to give black people more, to fight for more equitable treatment, but more specifically to allow to fight for voting rights. That was a huge deal to stop the lynchings. protest racism of all sorts, essentially. So we did went to COFA, we went to Smith Robertson, we went to Medgar Evers' house. Medgar Evers is arguably the most famous man to ever come from Mississippi. David Banner might have a problem with that, but it's okay. Medgar Evers is the shit. And so Medgar Evers was he the secretary? I think he was the secretary of the NAACP, the local NAACP in Jackson, Mississippi. In any case, he definitely worked with the NAACP, and he was ultimately, like so many of our beloved civil rights leaders, killed for his work with civil rights. And Medgar Evers has, his house is still there. It's very much still in a working class neighborhood. At the time, we could not go in because they were actually working on it. They were building, like, across the street, there was, like, going to be some memorial that was going to be built. So we actually couldn't go inside the house. But the house looks exactly the same as it did, I would say, 60 years ago when you know, he was unfortunately murdered. And it was so just for the people. It's just a regular home, regular family. You could tell that, like, you could feel his spirit there. But also, like, it was just, he was just a regular working man like any of our fathers. But he was so great in what he did. And that was really a powerful moment to go to his home that is still there. Unfortunately, you know, after his murder, his family did end up leaving due to their father and husband being killed. His killer would eventually, you know, go on to be caught and all that. But ever since then, I think the murder of Medgar Evers and all the gains that have happened in America and due to civil rights, you see in Mississippi how there's a concerted effort for the past 60 years to roll back all those civil rights. Like, you don't, like, Mississippi is a predominantly black, Jackson is a predominantly black city, but essentially it's like run by the state, which is like a racist white legislature, what it comes down to. Even Jackson State, like, the state is running shit and the state is ran by white people. And so when you go to these majority black places and you see like beautiful black people, and I remember I'm kind of like getting like jumbled with my thoughts and my words, because it is such a profound experience. And I want you to trust me to know that, like, I'm so overwhelmed with like joy and love and excitement to know that this is a place that you should visit. Right? When we think about tourism, we don't think about Jackson, Mississippi. But when you think about history and black people and the diaspora, no better place than Jackson, Mississippi. It's a predominantly black city. It has a black mayor, and it is still, the city is still like fucked up. You go through the city and you see so much blight, and just, it's almost like I felt like I was transported back into the 1950s. Like, it looks the same. Like, the buildings look the same. These once, you know, popping neighborhoods that were home to like black businesses, everything is still there. It's just 60 years later. But the homeowners are gone, the business owners are gone, and so it just looks dilapidated. And so for me and my family, we were like shocked that 60 years had passed since this 60 years has come to pass since the civil rights movement. But it felt like Jackson, Mississippi was like almost stuck in that time. And yeah, it was really eye-opening. Especially being from the North, we have preconceived notions about the South and how it's regressive, how it's slow, how it's just country. But until you see it for yourself, I think you will gain a new respect for the South. And I think that if you are a black person wanting to know more about black history in this country, or connect to the history and not just read books, not just go online to social media, Jackson, Mississippi is where you need to do it. Unfortunately, we learned, you know, I'm wearing the t-shirt. I hope you all can see, for those of you that are watching from YouTube, civil rights leaders got killed, right? These people that were doing phenomenal work in pursuit of a higher goal were killed. And that's the culture of America. That, like, killing black people is a part of their culture. And it's so unfortunate to be able to say that, but it's the truth. And in the South, if you want the truth, that's the place to go. I would say anywhere in the South. You just feel it. Because in the north, up north, there's so much more movement. I would say there's so much more economic movement. There's more money up north, or even out west, or even in the Midwest. Like we know that the Great Migration happened. Like people actually fled the South to flee from the violence and the racial terror. And so we have these sort of, I think, not being from the South, have these sort of glasses on, or like visors to maybe like blind us from the truth. And I think when I went to the South, it's like, oh shit, this shit is happening to us just in a different form. Or, we're so blinded by the economic opportunity that we may have that we don't see what's really going on right in front of us, or what has never changed. So I'm gonna get off my soapbox about Jackson, Mississippi, and just tell you, beautiful black travelers, to trust me and to visit Jackson, Mississippi. If you can make it a civil rights tour, that's the, I think, the easiest way. We took a week in the summertime to go, but if you can take like a week or two to really explore the South, you'll see this country in a whole new way. The South is very black. It's also very integrated, which is a misconception because the South is known to be and stereotyped to be so racist. You may think that people are really segregated and separated. The South is actually very integrated. And so just go there to dispel myths. If you want to educate yourself and have a good time and eat the best food, head down to Jackson, Mississippi, and more broadly to United States South to learn something. Now, I want to talk about another place that has had a profound impact on me and on my blackness internationally. So in 2016, I was a sophomore in college and I was able to go to Havana, Cuba, or La Habana. Porque si sí, hablo español. I get nervous speaking Spanish sometimes, but it flows out. It flows out perfectly. So I was a Spanish major in college. I did this program called Sophomore Scholars in Residence. And basically what it was that a group of 16 of us lived on the same floor. We took a class together and we traveled together. And the travel was related to the class. So the class was called Salsa Meets Jazz. So it was talking about the history of salsa, the history of jazz, and how they overlap in culture, right? You're talking about cultural exploration. So probably midway through the class, we went to Cuba. And this was before the embargo was lifted, so it was still restricted. But what I quickly learned upon my arrival was that there were so many goddamn Americans there, and they were all white, and they all had money. And I was like, oh, so you can go to Cuba with the embargo. You just have to have enough money to be able to do so. I mean, we saw so many Americans. I was like, well, damn, because with the embargo, it was like, Americans can't go to Cuba. But there's always exceptions to any rule, and one of them is education. So if you're going for educational purposes, you could go, and that's how we were able to go. And let me tell you, we stepped off the plane, it was going through customs, and the Cuba women are gorgeous. Oh my God, they are some bad bitches. Let me just say that. Down to like, are the equivalent of the our TSA agents. Beautiful, I mean, beautiful women. And from the very beginning, it was very clear to me that Cubans thought that I was beautiful. In America, when you are an American, you are taught that whiteness is the center, that whiteness is the best, that, everything around culture in America is centered around whiteness, and that includes beauty standards. And so for me, I always, I never thought that I was ugly. I just, I lived my life and I knew I was cute, and regardless of where I was. But when I stepped off the plane in Cuba and people start to look at me and say, hola preciosa, hola hermosa, like hello precious, hello beautiful, I was like, oh my God, are they talking to me? Like, now mind you, I went to a predominantly white institution. So the majority of people that were in my class, actually, this was actually a pretty diverse class. This was actually a pretty, yeah, this class was actually pretty diverse. But it was still predominantly white, but it was very clear that I was getting all the attention. And everyone sort of had a role in their group. So we were there for research. we was on vacation, y'all, but we were there for research because ultimately we had to do these final projects for our class, Salsa Mis Jazz, and everybody had a role. So I was a translator because I was the one who spoke Spanish. Spanish was my major in college, but it was very clear that I was getting the most attention, and the attention is not in any way a reflection of my vanity, but it was very clear that they love Black people. I mean, I'm about to cry because for the first time in my life, I felt seen. And what I mean by seen is I felt okay to just be myself. And I remember, I'll never forget, this guard, because it's a guarded place, was smiling at me. We were on a bus and he like smiled at me. And then someone was like, this girl was like, oh, is he looking at you, Char? I was like, yeah. And she was like, oh, I'm more of a hit in North America. And basically what she was saying is she was hating off the fact that I was getting so much attention, because there had been several other instances where people were just telling me how beautiful I was. But she was basically saying that, oh, in North America, I'm cute. But here, I guess I'm not. And like, the roles would be reversed had we been in America. But in that moment, I was disgusted with her. My point is that people cannot fathom a world where whiteness isn't center. And in Cuba, whiteness is not center. Blackness is center. Black people are considered to be beautiful. On the eastern coast of... that is where all the culture comes from. And that's where all the Black people are. Like, Blackness is valued and centered, and it is seen as supreme. And for me, as a Black person that's from the United States of America, my mind, my body was decolonized from that trip. Because you don't know how you think and who you are until you're placed in uncomfortable or unfamiliar situations. And so I encourage every single Black person listening to this to visit Cuba, because you are going to learn another way to be, another way to see yourself. I hope that from listening to this episode that you realize how beautiful you are, how centered you are, and how valuable you are. Because I truly didn't know that until I was 19 years old in Havana, Cuba, seeing the interactions with locals, seeing how they treated people, and it was life-changing. So Havana, Cuba will always have a special place in my heart. It will always be my number one. It changed my life at 19 years old, and I know that it can and will change yours if you allow it to. Another place that really is amazing and has that sort of allure that Havana gave me is Cartagena, Colombia. Now, I went to Colombia in 2017, so a year after I'd left Cuba, and I had decided I wanted to go. I was studying abroad in Ecuador, and I was going to originally talk about Esmeraldas, Ecuador, which is another Afro-inspired and forward place, definitely worth a visit, but I want to talk about the ones that are most impactful to me. So Esmeraldas, Ecuador is where the Black people in Ecuador are. If you don't know, Black people are everywhere throughout the diaspora, and it's really my goal to connect with all of my brothers and sisters throughout the diaspora, but I don't think that I explored Esmeraldas enough because I was studying abroad there, so it was kind of like more one for vacation. But you know, you'll meet people that look exactly like you, and you're like, these people could be my brothers and sisters, and just like that. And so Esmeraldas is definitely a place that I recommend, but I want to talk about Cartagena, Colombia, because that was the second most impactful place that I've been. So if you notice, throughout the diaspora, throughout the world, the Black people are near the ports, and that is due to the Atlantic slave trade. Black people were taken from Africa and sold and imported and exported throughout the world. And unfortunately, you know, they were brought on boats. And so a lot of the Black people that you see throughout the diaspora are near coastal cities, port cities, the beach, essentially. And so Cartagena is no different. It's the formal name is Cartagena de Indias. And I remember thinking, oh my God, these people look just like me when I went. Like, they look just like me. I was like, these people could be my sisters. Some people, I was like, she's like my twin. Like, that's how weird it was. And mind you, I grew up around all black people. I'm from Philly, but it is a different experience when you cross an ocean or you take a flight to another country and you're like, goddamn, like, are these people, am I related to these people? And that's how I felt in Cartagena. And I didn't know what to expect because we had went to, so I actually bused from Quito, Ecuador into Colombia, which was insane. The bus ride was like 18 hours, so we saw all of the farmland and just the beauty of Colombia, essentially, and with the Cali, which is the salsa capital of the world, a beautiful, beautiful place, and definitely a black place as well, and one of my favorites in Colombia. Probably like Cali and Cartagena are my two favorite cities. But anyways, back to Cartagena. I remember being like weirded out because I was with a white girl and an Asian woman, and when I was studying, when we went took this trip, and it was just like I felt stronger connection to the people, I think, in Cartagena than maybe the people that I was traveling with. I think the struggles that black people and like the racism that black people face across the diaspora looks very similar. And the more we're able to build those connections, I think the easier it'll be for us to build across ocean lines. Because at the end of the day, ocean lines and borders and countries, all that shit was created by white men who drew arbitrary lines. This is one, we're one big family. Like, and that just, that, and that's just the facts of it, okay? But Cartagena, you can visit the Palenque, and you see the beautiful black women and their, colorful clothing, and they're working for tips. And these women could be your grandma, they could be your auntie. They are actually. And so just open your mind. Open your mind, open your heart, I would say. Cartagena opened my heart even more because whereas Cuba, the people taught me to love my blackness and like center my blackness, I feel like Cartagena just showed me so much like love and like opened my eyes to the breadth and the depth of the black experience throughout the diaspora. Yeah, I smiled a lot, I loved a lot, and I felt more connected to the black diaspora. And I think you will too if you open your heart and allow yourself to feel and to, really talk to people. That's why I think it's so important when you are visiting a place to try to know the local language as much as possible. You don't have to be fluent, but you try to carry on a conversation. And English also, being native English speakers does help. It is a privilege because people love English. They want to learn English. People have, a lot of people across the diaspora still have that grand dream of making it to America, so they know they need to speak English. So, communicate and talk to our brothers and sisters. It's super worth it. And yeah, that's all I can really tell you. You have to see it for yourself. There's only so much listening to a podcast is gonna help you. You gotta get out there in the field, see what this world can offer, see the connections that you can make. And the purpose of travel is to see ourselves and others, is to break down barriers and walls and falsely created lines and imaginary lines and divides, is to bring us closer together. And so when you are out here traveling, just remember that we're all one family. We're just divided by arbitrary lines, and that those divisions, those differences, the different languages we speak, the different foods that we speak, it's temporary, and it's not, it is real, but it's at the same time, we don't have to allow that those things to like create further divide. We are all one. Like, we are all one across the diaspora, and I hope that from listening to this podcast, you see the similarities between the black people in Jackson, Mississippi, in Havana, Cuba, in Cartagena, Colombia. Like, we're all one. Yes, the country is the same, the passports are different, the food that they may eat, like Mississippi is known for watermelon, Cartagena, Colombia is known for what? Arepas. Cuba is known for like their, what is Cuba known for? Of course, rice and peas, but that's rice and beans, but that's more like the Caribbean Hispanic culture. I can't even think of like the beef that I'm thinking of that Cuba is known for. All that, yes, and that's culture and that's important, but we are all one. And the black people in Jackson are brothers and sisters to the black people in Havana, Cuba, that are brothers and sisters to the black people in Cartagena, Colombia, and we need to coalesce. We need to be united as one. And as you journey across the world, I hope that you're able to see that for yourself. I want to thank you so much for listening to this episode of Black Girl Traveler Podcast. I hope you learned something about black people throughout the diaspora. I hope you are inspired to travel throughout the diaspora. I hope you're able to see yourselves represented in the places that you seek to travel to. And that's it. Next week, we're going to be talking about digital nomad lifestyle, how you possibly can move from where you currently are to live in a new space. There are specific destinations that cater to remote workers. I have found a career in traveling and working at the same time, working while traveling, made a career of traveling. So that's what we're going to be talking about next week. And I love y'all. I want to thank you for listening to this episode of Black Girl World Traveler, the podcast today. I hope you enjoyed our talk about exploring through the world from a black woman's perspective. If you like what you heard, help us out by hitting the subscribe button on YouTube, leave a review, drop us a comment, and share this episode with a friend. Your support means the world to me, and it is how we grow the Black Girl World Traveler community. I love to hear your thoughts about this episode, so drop me a message at Black Girl World Traveler on Instagram or at blackgirlworldtraveler@gmail.com. Let's keep this conversation going. I love you all. Keep traveling, keep dreaming big, and I'll see y'all next week's episode. Peace. Take care, Shira.